Welcome to The Firm Report, the show where we pull back the curtain on what it really takes to build and grow a successful law practice. Each week, we'll be talking with attorneys, marketing pros, and operational specialists from law firms around the country. We'll dig into real stories, smart strategies, and the practical tips that can help you grow your firm and serve your clients better. Let's get into it.
We really turned our attention to technology, to software, and kind of the framework of some of our systems. So I think we did use that time productively. I really do. We started on Litify. A really big jump in retrospect, man, doing such a big software change during COVID actually was a blessing to some small degree because some things were slow, right? So with the software, with really getting good at our numbers and our metrics, and then coming out of COVID, ready to grow, not suggesting there hasn't been pains, but I think we did it in a decently smart way. All right, this is what we need to do over the next 3 or 4 or 7 quarters to keep up there. So that's kind of what it allowed us to do. And it's scary, right? Like, you know, you're doing these things, they cost money, and you're doing them at a time where you're trying to grow the firm and you're counting nickels. But I think it's important as you grow to continue to put yourself in rooms where folks are doing it, have done it, are better, are smarter. And vulnerable like that, man.
Hi, I'm Zach Hoffman with Exults. Welcome to the show today. I have our guest, Rich Gottschall, joining us. Rich, I'll turn it over to you to give yourself a brief intro.
Thanks, Zach. Yeah, Rich Gottschall, run a personal injury firm out of Pennsylvania. We have about 8 or 9 lawyers and a staff of 50 plus some people overseas, and look forward to talking to you today.
Awesome. So 8 or 9 lawyers and 50 staff. I assume you didn't start there, did you?
No. My old partner's now retired. Him and I have been together for about 12 or 13 years. And when I started with him, we were about 3 or 4 lawyers and probably 30 staff. Right before COVID, we made a really big push. COVID kind of had us a little sideways for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then back in like 2022, we kind of started scaling and growing again to where we are.
That's awesome. So you've so the COVID period, I mean, I guess we all got, if you're running a business prior to that, we all got kind of like shell-shocked or evolved our operations. I guess now that the dust has cleared post-COVID, what really has evolved or changed about how you operate?
So interesting. Once that initial, you know, shock of COVID kind of happened, right? So March, April, May of 2020, and we realized that we'll be able to survive, but it's going to be a different world for who knows how long. We really turned our attention to technology, to software, and to kind of the framework of some of our systems. So I think we did use that time productively. I really do. We started on Litify.
Okay.
Which was a really big jump in retrospect, man. Doing such a big software change during COVID actually was a blessing to some small degree because some things were slow, right? So with the software, with really getting good at our numbers and our metrics, and then coming out of COVID, ready to grow, not suggesting there hasn't been pains, but I think we did it in a decently smart way.
So you say Litify it. So how was that adoption? I know that's a CRM that's based on Salesforce infrastructure and
So we started basically with how we built Litify was from the top of the house down, right? So we wanted metrics, we wanted financial metrics. And then from there, we developed it into case management. So instead of just starting with how to handle a case in pre-lit or how to handle a case in lit, we really started with the metrics, right? Like, where's our money going? Where are we spending it? Where are we allocating it? What's good, what's bad? What numbers are healthy? What do we have to change? And then from there, being able to get those snapshots in time, we then slowly started to build it into case management. The case management thing now 3 years later is still evolving, to be honest with you. But the numbers piece of it with Litify it's really good, man. Like, you know, a lot of litigators, which is what I am, right? So my background is litigating cases. If you asked me 15 years ago if I'd own a firm, I'd probably tell you no, right? So with my background in litigation, the systems of running a business were foreign to me. And learning numbers, understanding what numbers you need to know, and then having a system that helps you get those numbers has really given me a comfort. And I will tell you, when I tell other folks that are more litigation minded, I part of what I do is risk, right? And I'm comfortable taking risk. What the numbers allow me to do is to take that risk, right? So you're not going in blind. So again, 10 years ago, if you told me that, I would have thought you're crazy. But now, if you tell me what my cost per case is, you tell me how long I can open to close a file, you tell me where some of our numbers are exceeding kind of where we want to be, and then you apply a couple facts and a couple cases, you can kind of pick and choose what you want to do. And the old adage of, you know, try the cases you want to try, not the cases the insurance company wants to try, right? Uh-huh. You know, with these systems and with these numbers and with these metrics, it's almost allows you to do that in a much more sustained and aggressive way.
So I guess if you had to crux on, let's just say, three KPIs, you said cost per case. I mean, of course, I'm more involved in the front end of the house. So I see the cost per lead to the case. Some of our clients are generous enough to be like, if I wanted the lead and we didn't sign it, we'd give you credit. But, you know, like, yeah, to back out costs. But what would you say are like some of those key like KPIs that have helped you really like grow and evolve the firm?
So from an executive level, if you will, from a business standpoint, it's certainly cost per lead, right? Yeah. It's certainly cost per settlement, right? So what am I settling my cases for? What are we resolving for? And then just the gross numbers of what's coming in and what's coming out, right? So I really look at cost per lead, cost per case, if you will, how much my average settlements are overall, both in pre-lit and lit, and then the funnel, what's coming in a month and what's going out. So how many cases are we bringing in and how many cases are we resolving? And with those four or five numbers, you can really do a lot, man. You know, from a marketing standpoint, we got into TV a couple of years ago. So when I see those numbers, look, what we do in PI, numbers are predictions, right? So as you know, a case comes in, there's going to be a certain amount of time before you're actually getting the financial reward for that. So these numbers allow me to continue to aggressively market, right? Whereas maybe in the past, if I was doing it blind, at some point the anxiety takes over and you may slow down, right? So with those four or five key metrics, yeah, you can continue to have another aggressive quarter with marketing. So that's really what we're looking at, those three or four or five.
So being a marketer, naturally, I have to ask, like, what I would say, what mediums are you really involved in? You mentioned television as one. And of course, as somebody that's just a student of marketing and business, I mean, TV has had its pressures, right? I mean, if you look at the NBA's viewership, NFL's reporting viewership's up, you know, like who really knows? But yeah, like as a marketer, so what mediums are you utilizing? Where do you see like the impact? What's the, you know, I know there's some of the benefits of TV from a branding aspect, but what have you found?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So this firm was built digitally. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my partner's now retired and one of the first lawyers to have a website. So mm-hmm. we built this firm on limited tort cases. We built this firm digitally throughout the state of Pennsylvania, finding pockets that were maybe less competitive financially, right? So outside of Philadelphia, middle part of the state. And we had some really good success. But like everything else, lawyers are copycats and a lot of people got into that. So what I really tried to do when I bought the firm 3 years ago was I wanted to build a brand, right? We that's mm-hmm. one thing we never, not that we never did, but we didn't have to, right? With our digital footprint, we were bringing in and generating what we needed to. And I thought with all the competition now digitally and just the cost of doing everything, I thought it was important to build a brand. I'm young enough where I want to be around long enough. I think we're very good at what we do. So we wanted to build a brand. And the Ostroff Gotcha, we started branding the OG. So oglaw.com, we have a phone number. We started pushing that out with website, with digital. And then we made a decision about 2.5 years ago to go to TV. Mm-hmm. And the TV was for basically two concepts. One of which I have this like urge to try to be different, right? Like I don't want to stand up in front of a green screen and eat insurance companies for lunch or yell and scream with a check in your hand. Like again, that works for people, but I can't pull that off and I don't believe in that stuff, right? I don't believe in myself. I'm not believable when I do that stuff. It's not authentic to me. So my background is my dad is an injured carpenter. He's a union guy. All my family's union. I was the first guy to go to college, let alone law school. And in my first year of law school, my dad fell off a scaffold and is permanently disabled. And, you know, I lived that story with him looking for a lawyer, the stress of not being able to work, of being a blue collar guy and being out of work and having two kids, one of which was still in college, my sister, the stress of, you know, my dad is a blue collar guy, you know, his sophistication level is not someone maybe that is college educated. So when he was talking to lawyers, those first couple meetings we had, just didn't go well. Right. And it took us a while to finally find somebody. His union rep actually gave him somebody. And, you know, I live that. So my first commercial is telling that story. Nice. And then the second commercial that we run is, it's actually a parody. It's an ambulance chasing me. I drive past a crash site and the person in the crash recognizes me. And it's just a play on like the ambulance chaser and the ambulance is chasing me. So I'm trying to get out there in a way that people remember, both in a way that maybe makes them laugh and think of me. Right.
Yeah.
But also in a very serious look, I'm in business. I know what I'm doing. I live this on both ends. So that's what we're trying to do, man. So we do most of our marketing is probably 65% of it is still digital. I find Google's getting more and more expensive every month, right? You know, you now have the Google Look services, you know, you have SEO, you have pay-per-click, you have Google My Business. So I think, you know, every bucket, if you will, that Google adds is another financial, you know, input. So we're still about 65% there, 30% doing TV. If I continue to grow, the next thing I'd like to do is billboards. We've been messing around with the cord cutting aspect, the OTT.
Okay.
And then just as big a piece, man, that I'll touch about is prior clients, former clients, and community. Yeah. So, you know, the newsletters, we do newsletters every month. And then every third month, it's actually a print newsletter where we're mailing it to a couple thousand people. We did a really big backpack drive for the local school district this year with 3,000 backpacks.
That's awesome.
What I'd like to do, I have 8 or 9 offices across Pennsylvania. A lot of them are smaller. Mm-hmm. Every year, kind of add an office and just get out there with those types of things. We're planning a turkey drive. So, I mean, it's the marketing piece of trying to compete with the big monsters out there financially to a different degree, obviously. Also, really catering to clients, former clients. We have an app now that brings you through the client journey and just really touching current clients and former clients with newsletters and things like that. And then obviously the community. So that's kind of our marketing piece. That's the framework of it. And we're just trying to get better at it.
So I've been in business. I've been in marketing for 20 plus years, right? Along the way, I've had the fair fortune of representing some national advertisers from a TV perspective, traditional, some of the largest firms in the country. But I'd like to ask you a little bit about your television buy, because it is a loaded aspect, especially with like the infiltration of OTT, the reality that, you know, you got the phones, like regardless of what you're watching on TV, I know it gets streamed in my house all the time, and whether or not you ever make it to a connected channel, a CBS, NBC, Fox, ABC, like I'm not buying it 100%, but I guess from your perspective or experience, like, what are you seeing from your television journey?
Yeah. And it's a great question. There is a attribution struggle with TV, right? I think there always has been to some degree, but certainly with some of the complexities you just added, right? Given kind of what people do now with cutting the cord and with phones. Yeah. So I will tell you, can I give you a clean attribution for my TV? I can't. But I can tell you there's just more things happening. Uh-huh. So I'm very comfortable saying it's working.
Okay, awesome.
But I can't give you a spreadsheet that gives me a clean cost per case based on TV advertising, right? So what I'm looking at, Zach, is I'm really paying attention just to my overall cost per case right now, right? And exactly. I know what I'm spending all in, and I'm including everything, the TV, the digital, the backpacks.
Yeah.
We do swag boxes. When you sign up with us, you get a box from me with my picture and a blanket and an intro video. So I'm really including all of that, and I'm getting a very high level gross, if you will, cost per case. And for right now, if that stays at or beats the national average in kind of what we do, I'm comfortable saying let's continue to do it. But I do hear you. So to answer the specific question, you are right. There's some challenges with TV. So what we're really doing is really focusing on the times we can best predict TV is still driving traffic with eyeballs. And that's morning news, okay, from call it 5:30 to 9. And then that middle afternoon period from about 1:30 to 4. They're the two spots we're really hitting. I do think the morning piece has been productive. The afternoon piece, I'm not as confident. The other piece is the sports element, but my budget isn't there yet. So that would kind of be with the third piece I would touch. But right now on morning news, I do think there is value added to what we're doing. But we're always watching it.
What are you hearing is national average cost per case?
$2,500 or less.
Does that include looking at particular practice areas, or that's just, you're just saying all in?
No, what I can break that down more, but just if you would, how do I explain this? A decently volume based PI firm that handles a variety of MVA and fall down cases. Mm-hmm. You know, I can build that out for you a little bit. We have a construction kind of department. I have a MedMal. I can break those down for you a little bit more detail with different numbers, but just generically, that 2,500 is what I'm looking at right now. And I'm not suggesting that's gospel. And I'm not suggesting better or worse. It's just kind of, again, just something that allows me to monitor and sleep at night.
Give you some form of gauge. I mean, it varies based on practice area, based on geography, based on the value of what you all can work a case to be worth. So, yeah.
Right. I mean, sure. I mean, the cost per case, yes, absolutely. Cost per settlement and cost per lead, that, you know, if you stay within that, you know, if we go back and forth about what cost per lead is.
Yeah.
I think if your average fee is 5 times that or more, that's a healthy ratio. Mm-hmm. So if you're 2,500 times five is what, 25,000? You know, so is that right?
No, it's 12.5.
Yeah, 12.5. It's gone. So if, you know, I've heard that as well. You know, we're well within that. So again, these are all general numbers, but when you ask me about where, you know, what is TV doing for me, there are some there are some assumptions I need to make, right? So as long as I'm plugging in some numbers, and that's kind of what we're doing right now.
Just out of curiosity, when it comes to like television and just kind of like betting on specific networks, are there like specific networks that you like have anchored down to, or?
Yeah, you know, so we picked two. We do Fox, which has the biggest local morning show. Okay. Yeah. So Philadelphia-based folks love Fox News in the morning. That's the most, that's the highest national rating, if you will, or I'm sorry, highest local rating for a show. And then we do NBC, which from the more national stage gets the best viewership in our area, if that makes sense.
No, for sure. I mean, definitely the best analogy I've heard is the reality is when you look at the main networks, Fox represents half the country, right? Like they're the only ones covering the red side of the country and the Republican side, whereas the Democrats and liberals are split between ABC, NBC, CBS. You can debate that all you want. It's fact, right? So half of the audience is basically watching Fox. And then when you look at Philadelphia, the Eagles are in the, you know, they're in the NFC. So
that's great. And I will tell you, both networks, look, they know I'm new to it. They know my budget isn't with some of the other folks yet.
Yeah.
They've been very good to us, man. They've been very good to me and, you know, keeping me engaged, you know, helping me learn the medium, and, you know, giving me some, not freebies, if you will, but some really prime commercial slots here and there just to keep me coming. And it's, I mean, I've been enjoying it, nice. Whether you do it forever, who knows whether.
Yeah. You know,
but right now it's been worth the effort.
Do they lock you in network? Like in the actual broadcast itself? Have you been in like the traffic reports, weather reports, or are you just
nothing like that yet. They're all, I mean, I have some options there, but nothing like that yet.
Me as a viewer, like when I watch NBC National News, I'm literally blown away. Like I haven't seen a Prevagen commercial in years, but like, there's literally no commercials when I watch it on YouTube TV. YouTube TV's definitely dented the markets in a lot of ways. And the interesting thing though, I'd say about just a lot of mediums as from a marketer is you can make a lot of assumptions about a specific socio-demographic that's like watching your medium or like based on like the phones they have, like who they might be, what they're doing. Have you done like socio-demo studies of like who's making this decision when it comes to the cases that you're seeing?
So we're in the process of, it's really interesting you said that, like who is our most regular client, right? If you will, most typical, whatever word you want to use.
Yeah.
We're doing that right now and trying to really understand those types of things and then apply that back to what you're talking about with TV. But I can't give you a clean answer on that. I wish I could.
Nice. Yeah. I'm sure your gut tells you, or you have an idea. So
I do. Yeah.
You know, we spoke a little bit about masterminds and you said, like, I think you said you're part of Fireproof, which I think is Mike Morse mastermind, right? And
it's Mike's. Yep.
Yeah. Which he does some really awesome things on social media, by the way. And then, you mentioned Bill Biggs. You want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of your positioning there?
Yeah.
How it's influenced.
Yeah, both. So when I bought the firm again 3 years ago, being a litigator, I really was a little, I didn't know where to start, right? And I was, I really wanted to get involved with some organizations to at least make sure we're trying to do things the right way. So the mastermind group is twofold. The Mike Morse piece of it is building systems, understanding your numbers, understanding metrics, building your dashboards, right? And we've really come such a long way with that. The Bill Biggs aspect of it is what we do. It's like size firms across the country with similar revenues, getting together 3 times a year, signing confidentiality, and basically pouring over each other's numbers. So what that allows me to do is, all right, I have a firm in Boston that is about the same size, generating about the same amount of work. You know, going back to what we talked about before, what's their cost per case, right?
Yeah.
What's their average fee? How much percentage wise based on revenue are they spending on marketing? What's their overhead look like? To again, give me some framework, right? Not that it's foolproof, right? But some framework that, you know, my numbers here are decent compared to other folks across the country, right? There's obviously variables that make things different. But again, just trying to say, all right, I'm comfortable saying my marketing is going to be X of my revenue, right? And if I can do that, I should be able to do this and generate this many cases. And if I do that and I can hold this average fee, right, which is decent compared to a few other folks, and just trying to build things out that way, man, and not doing things that you're not flying blind, right, and seeing where, oh great, my average fee's higher, but that makes sense, right? I'm a pure litigator. It should be a little higher than maybe another firm that where the guys are more business and don't have that litigator in their firm yet, right? But look, those guys, man, they're killing in the marketing. Their percentage of revenue is this. All right, this is what we need to do over the next 3 or 4 or 7 quarters to keep up there. So that's kind of what it allowed us to do. And it's scary, right? Like, you know, you're doing these things, they cost money, and you're doing them at a time where you're trying to grow the firm and you're counting nickels. But I think it's important as you grow to continue to put yourself in rooms where folks are doing it, have done it, are better, are smarter, and being vulnerable like that, man. And you know, that's how I became a really good trial lawyer. And I'm using those same concepts to hopefully become a really good business person. The other thing we're doing too, that may be a little more different than some folks you talk to, is as I build this out, I'm really building a C-level department, right? I don't want to run the firm. I have right now an executive director that is slowly growing into a COO, right? I have an IT guy that's really helping me with our dashboards and our metrics. You know, I see him as a CTO growing.
Yeah.
The marketing. So, and then once we really have these numbers, these metrics, and we're comfortable year to year on what we're judging ourselves on, mm-hmm. I will get back to handling the top 15, 20 cases in the office, right? And that's mm-hmm. kind of what we're trying to do. We're in year three. We survived year three. You know, looking to year four, and I'm optimistic, man, that this could work. But we're learning and putting ourselves in rooms with other people. It just, you notice, man, like when you have a tough quarter or you're having a tough situation, others are going through it or have gone through it. They can help you through it. And understanding numbers, again, is it perfect? Does it vary? Does it vary from case type? Does it vary from geographic? It certainly does. But just coming up with conceptually some level of range that you're comfortable with and then applying your numbers to those ranges, you know, again, it keeps you coming back. It keeps you engaged. And it builds some confidence that this could work.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Definitely. And I'm sure like building out Litify has been quite the journey. Is there anything other things in your tech stack that you found to be like game changing? Are you utilizing AI yet or dabbling with that?
We are. So I started the AI journey with just ChatGPT myself. I signed mm-hmm. up for a course out of Temple that I was doing Monday nights, just learning AI, learning how to prompt at a lower level. We've also all year now have been working with the three biggest vendors in the area, whether Supio, Even Up. Mm-hmm. We've done trials with each of them. We kind of broke our firm into two or three groups and gave each group a different product to try. And then we've been debating at length which one fits. And just helping, using AI to help just with the Medcrons, with the demands, with understanding the case. And then it looks like we decided on one for next year.
Okay.
And then the long-term goal would maybe be to build something out ourselves. But I there's folks that are, their minds are much better now with me. I'm not there yet, but that's where I'd like to go. But just right now, having AI, we're using it. I use it a lot. It's here to stay, man. You know that. And right, some of the most brilliant minds are using it. I can't imagine in ways, but even at a ground level, it's helping, it's supplementing. I do think, you know, it's not a cheat, right? I think with my 25 years of experience, it's much more powerful in my hands than maybe somebody that's 3, 4, 5, 6. So I think you got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something we're using. It's helping with, I shouldn't say it's helping with case capacity yet, but it is allowing folks to get through a caseload, right? And hopefully we'll get to a point where maybe folks can handle a few more things because we're relying on AI to kind of offshoot some of the stuff that they don't need to do, but we're not there yet.
Well, I like to call it augmenting, right?
And that's a good word.
The fact is you know that the other side is utilizing it. So if you've like tested, I would say OpenAI has the strongest infrastructure. Anybody that's trying to build their own LLM, like good luck. Because there's nobody with more capital and dollars, and you know, there's a lot of people out there pitching, oh, we're building our own LLM. Like that's like saying, like, I know that I can get a lighter, but I'm gonna go grab a stick and stone and try to like do this. Cause the amount of funding that Sam Altman has to go at the, you know, the LLM war, there's accessibility to OpenAI and GPT's APIs. So there's a lot of ways to build within their confines and their infrastructure.
No, and I agree with that. ChatGPT is on my desktop and open all day. And I really think I'm getting better at it, man. It's crazy. And I think as I prompt better and challenge it, right? I have a couple of really complex MedMal cases. And I'm telling you, man, it is helpful. It's a research tool. It's a guide. It points you in the right direction. And as you ask better questions, it's a game changer.
Yeah, our team's built some software on like the back of GPT. So like we've helped people really surf through thousands of pages of medical records in a matter of like minutes. Because I don't understand how you all have done in the past where you get like a medical record that's 5,000-10,000 pages and have to manually go through it. I mean, to be able to build a timeline within a matter of minutes, it allows you to actually, I think, like go to war a little bit more effectively, like do the work, logically think through. And like I said, it's a challenge because being on the litigation side, you know, the defense firms are utilizing it. I mean, they're at the trade shows buying it and exploring it. So, you know, it's foolish to think that they're not necessarily, jumping in because it's, it's pretty, I think, amazing over the past couple of years, 2-3 years as a professional to be able to be like, oh, I don't use AI. I think you're just lying to yourself. You know, there's a lot of professionals out there that'll be like, oh, I didn't utilize it for this, or I'm not utilizing it for this. I am so open about using AI. And even when you're doing prompts or like deep research, it can take you hours. It doesn't still take you like minutes. If you're going deep on and doing the right prompting or like reading the responses, like, I mean, personally, I've had, I would say research journeys that'll go hours deep versus just, doesn't necessarily just take minutes because it's AI, if that makes sense.
No, I agree with that. And as you get better prompting, I agree that it's not about less time, but you're more focused, right? It's, you know, imagine, like, you know, the old times where you're on Google chasing links and, you know, then you get to an article that's like a paywall and you can't get to it. Like, you're not dealing with that kind of stuff, right? And I agree with that.
Yeah, it's definitely been a hyper evolution. I think we're in a new era. Like, I guess both me and you professionally have seen the internet come around, and now it's AI is that whole other layer. And I see you have kids' pictures behind you, so I'm sure your children. I mean, my little boy, he's 8 years old. He likes to mess around with GPT. It's pretty interesting.
Both my girls are ahead of me, man. It's unbelievable. I can't imagine this is kind of where they're going to be in another 5 years.
No, for sure. With the essence of, us at Exalts, we're always focused on driving results. What would you say is like one of the main things that really allows you to drive results on, you know, a day-to-day basis as you've continued to grow the firm from just life, business, everything, anything?
Look, I this may sound, we can talk about metrics, AI. I think augmenting is a really neat word that you used, but you still got to show up every day. There's still grit involved in this, right? I think these tools are still, the person's going to be most successful with all of these things is still the person that has work ethic, that is showing up, grit, risk. I think all those values still serve. And when you augment them with technology, metrics, these groups that I'm in, I still think you need all those things.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So it's a combination of factors that help you drive your results.
I do, man. I think all of these things are great. Technology is wonderful. But it doesn't take the place of, right? It's still augment. And, I still think a guy like me with my trial background, with now running a firm, really trying to brand and compete and having these technologies in place and be willing to try these things, right? And be willing to put people in this office that are smarter and better than me. I really think the sky's the limit. I'm excited.
That's awesome. Well, genuinely, everything you do is making you better at your craft, right? So it just makes you just that much better professional for the people that, go to you for litigation and to fight their case. So Rich, I definitely appreciate you being on the show. If people want to find you, where's the best place?
Website www.oglaw.com is probably the best place to find me.
Awesome. Well, definitely, this is Zach Hoffman. I appreciate you listening to the show. Appreciate you joining us today, Rich. It's been a great time, great interview, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Zach. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode of The Firm Report, brought to you by Exalts, a full-service digital marketing agency helping law firms reach new heights. If you enjoyed the conversation, make sure to like, subscribe, and share the show with someone who'd find it valuable. You can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.